Time is flying by. We're running out of time, us being here on this earth for the reason God put us here. And so we need to get busy about being and doing who God says we are and what He wants us to do. Amen? So this morning I'm going to talk about igniting our passion. Igniting our passion. And I was really hopeful that we would have everybody here. I know that's an almost impossibility, but still, I can dream my dream. Is that all right? Yeah. And it was the desire of my heart, and I want to thank each and every one of you that made the effort to be here this morning. And I just want to encourage you, every Sunday, let's try to lay everything else aside and get into this place where God is. Amen? Now, having a church full of people is not my desire necessarily. A lot of pastors, it is. They count nickels and noses, and I'm not that way. I want you here because you want to be here. I want you here because you love Jesus, and you want to be who God has called you to be. But it's also the desire of the Lord to have His body in place so His glory and His presence and His power can begin to function in the body. You see, when we're just a few, God can still function here. But God, you know, God has big plans. God is not one to think, you know, small. Everything that God does is big. And so we need to get into that God mentality with Him and start thinking big for this church. Now, Jesus is the head of this body. He's the one who's in charge. And so we submit ourselves to Him this morning. There's one thing that I believe that's going to happen here this morning, and we're going to see a baptism of fire this morning. And let's start by looking at this particular verse in Scripture. It's over in Matthew chapter 3:11. Matthew chapter 3:11. John is talking here, and he says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." That was the message of John as he moved about Israel. Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. But then he went on to say, but he, talking about Jesus, he that is coming after me is mightier than me, whose shoes I'm not even worthy to bear or to carry or to touch even. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus is the baptizer. He's the one that baptizes in the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so I believe that Jesus' purpose for this assembly of the body of Christ today is to ignite the fire in your spirit in order to set you on fire for God's kingdom and His glory. Now, I know I've prayed fire over this church several times over the past few years. And this is just something that occasionally we need to do because the trials of life and all of the things that go on in our lives each day, they pull us away from the important things of God's kingdom. And the fire of God is one of the most important things because it's a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So your part in all of this is to desire the fire and then receive it by faith. You're going to have to exercise your faith this morning in order to receive what God wants to do here today. Now, how do you exercise your faith? Do 10 push-ups or something with it? No, you just believe in your heart. As you're sitting there this morning listening, you ought to be able to just begin to say to yourself, I am going to receive this morning. Maybe I've never received it in the past, but I'm going to receive it this morning. And that's the kind of heart that God is looking for. Now, Why do we need the fire? Why do we need the fire? Well, one reason is to set our feet firmly in the kingdom of God and choose never, never to deny Jesus or his kingdom. We should never put ourselves in a position where we might have to deny him or his kingdom. Now, of course, we all know the story about Peter, how he denied Jesus that night before Jesus was crucified. But let's go ahead and look at it in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, he's talking to his disciples, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised," I'm talking about being raised from the dead here, "I will go before you to Galilee." You know, this is one of the things that I liked about Jesus. He always told his disciples what he was going to do. They never paid attention to him, but he always was there telling them what he was going to do. And this is where we need to start being sensitive. God speaks to you every Sunday, whether it's a Sunday morning service or the Sunday night service. God is speaking things to you. The question is, are you receiving it? Are you hearing? Are you listening to what God is saying? Because if you're not, you're not going to be any better off than these disciples found themselves. So we need to learn how to receive from the Lord. "But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." And Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say unto you, that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Now, wouldn't that be shocking, that bit of revelation to come from the Son of God, when you're up there trying to be boastful and proud and everything by declaring, you know, "I'll never deny you." But see, that's what happens when we get off into the flesh. We say things that we don't mean. And Peter may very well have meant it, but Peter should have understood that there's a whole lot more going to happen that night than what he had an understanding of. And it's the same thing with us in dealing with God. You know, God talks about, you know, "You don't know my ways. You don't know what everything is going to happen. You don't know the plans that I have." And we don't. We know some. We've catched glimpses of some things that he's going to do. But we have no idea what God is going to do. But yet we walk around acting like we do, acting like we're the ones in charge. And this all, every time, will lead to failure. It'll always lead to failure. So why did Peter deny Jesus? Why did he? In fact, why did all of the disciples deny Jesus in their own particular way? If you'd ever study that out, you'd find out they all kind of tripped up too, not in the same way that Peter did. But have you ever asked the question, you know, why would all of these disciples turn their backs on Jesus? You know, they followed Jesus faithfully. They ate with him every day. They followed him everywhere he went. They listened to everything that he taught. They saw the miracles that occurred at his, you know, by his hand. But why did they deny him in that particular last night? In a great time of his need, why did they deny him? Well, how about us today? Why do we deny him? You say, "Oh, well, I don't deny him." Let me tell you, we deny him in the little things. Oh, we could look at the big thing and say, "Well, you know, we were brought before a firing squad of soldiers, and if they told us we're going to kill you unless you deny Jesus," then we might stop and question, "Well, what would I do? What would I do?" And you see, there should be no question. if we have already committed ourselves to God, if we have chosen to be faithful to Him in everything, our response would be automatic. We would just simply declare, I'm not going to deny Him. Listen, there's some things going on right now in ways that are going to bring about ways where we can deny Him. Right now, God is moving all over this earth. God's presence is here. God's presence is in a lot of churches around the world. And in this church, we've had His presence for several years. But let me ask you a question. Where is your focus daily? Where is your focus daily? Where have you made your commitment on a day-to-day basis? Where is your commitment at on a day-to-day basis? Where is your allegiance? You see, Jesus is looking for a people who are on fire. And He'll even provide the fire. We are looking for fame. We're looking for success and prosperity. Some of us are even looking just to get by. And we say, oh, we have our eyes on Jesus. In particular, we love Christmas and we love Easter because that's, you know, those are two great times of the year that we can focus on Jesus. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, where is your focus every day? Every day, where is it? Let me share something with you that the Lord showed me. In this day, as it was 2,000 years ago, a church, which is the body of Christ, must have a soul. The body of Christ here represents the body of Jesus, and there must be a soul that has a passion in it to carry forward. You see, the body of Christ should not be divided. And that is happening in so many churches. As time goes by, it gets worse and worse. But this means that each one of us individually must be on fire and ready to move on with God wherever God leads us. Something deep inside of us must happen in order to create or birth that passion or that fire within us for Jesus. Yet so many of us have a passive relationship with Jesus. Our walk with Him is passive. Oh, we think about Jesus, all right, but it's always when we need something. It's not from a viewpoint of how much we love Him and how much we need Him every day of our lives. And you see, to believe means to believe with your whole heart. And Jesus has called us to believe. But let me tell you, if you believe but you're disobedient, then you're not truly believing. You see, to believe means that you believe what God has said, what Jesus is calling you to walk in, and you're going to obey it no matter what it costs you. That's true obedience. That's what Christianity is supposed to be all about. And for some reason, the disciples did not learn this until after the day of Pentecost. And the same with us. We haven't learned this yet. Not just as this church, but as churches all over the world. We're still trying to learn. We're still trying to understand, what does God want from us? And this is why Peter literally denied Jesus in a profound way. You see, a person will only lay down their life for what they believe in with all of their heart. With all their heart. Not a divided heart, but with all of their heart. And that's what we need as the body of Christ, to believe in the things of God, to believe in the things of the kingdom of God with all of the heart of this body. That means we can't have a divided heart. We can't have a divided heart. We must stand together in unity to fulfill the purpose for which God has put us here. Now, in our nation of America, freedom and democracy were such things in which men believed, and they were willing to lay down their lives for this nation. Meaning, they were literally willing to die in order to protect this nation. And that's the kind of fire that the disciples discovered during Pentecost. But the American church, we rarely ever see this kind of belief. And so what's wrong with this picture? Why can't we believe with the same passion with which others have believed? Are there churches that are standing in this kind of belief? Yes, there are. And guess what? Those that are standing is where God is moving in a mighty, awesome way. I've shared this before, but there's a church in Northern California called Bethel Church in Redmond, California. And God is moving mightily in that church. And it's all because these people have come together in unity of purpose. They have let the Spirit of God ignite a fire of passion in their souls. And they are pursuing everything that God lays before them. And I want to be able to see this church be that way. We have the same opportunity that they do. We have the same amount, I mean, not amount, but the same kind of people here that can make that kind of commitment. Now back to the disciples, something had to happen to the disciples during that time before Pentecost. Yeah, it was great to see, you know, when the Spirit of God fell and filled them all, baptized them all in that upper room, and immediately they hit the streets and began doing the work of the kingdom of God. But something brought them together before. You see, they were in that upper room 10 days. Jesus told them to go there and to stay there until they be endued with power from on high. And so something happened in that upper room, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. And here's what I believe that it is. They became covered with the blood of Jesus and remembered the importance of a blood covenant with God. You see, they had just seen Jesus crucified, shed blood and all. And that he had been buried, and then that he had been raised from the dead. But what they eventually recognized during this 10-day period was that there was a covenant that was cut with Almighty God through his Son. Blood was shed for that covenant. And they suddenly awakened to the fact that they were now covenant partners with God in a new covenant. You see, they had been under the old covenant where the law was the controlling factor of the covenant. But now God has issued a new covenant with them through Jesus, and they were beginning to see the power of this new covenant. And I think what sparked that remembrance was that they remembered Passover. You see, the blood of the Lamb was applied to the doorpost during Passover to keep the death angel from killing them. And the blood of the Lamb, which became Jesus, the Lamb of God, was applied over the doorpost of their hearts so that this same angel of destruction would not destroy the fire that was about to be ignited within them. Now you see, covenant and the fire are two important things in God's kingdom. In the Holy of Holies, in the temple, the blood was always applied. The blood of the sacrifice was always applied to the mercy seat. Why? So that the flame of God's presence would remain in the Holy of Holies. You see, there always had to be the shedding of blood, the sacrifice that had to be made in order for God's presence to remain in the Holy of Holies. And I believe it has never changed. And I believe that that's what the disciples finally began to understand and began to see. Pentecost came, and so did the fire of the Holy Spirit. And the souls of these disciples were ignited with a passion for Jesus, and that was what drove them into the streets of Jerusalem. That's what made them begin to get out and move in the power that had come upon them as they began to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone they could talk to. They were on fire for Jesus, and they wanted the whole world to know it. Most Christians today don't even talk to anyone else about Jesus. What does that tell you? Well, it tells you, first of all, it's a possibility they're not saved. Second of all, it tells us that, well, they don't understand covenant. Because if they understood covenant, then they're going to be working with God to fulfill the purpose of the kingdom of God. And they don't understand about the fire that was coming, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that came upon them on that day of Pentecost. And you see, if you receive by faith today, understanding what you're learning today, then the same thing can happen to you. God wants to ignite you with fire to set your heart ablaze with passion and a hunger for His Son and His kingdom. And that can happen in your life today. In order to do this, let me share a couple of more things about covenant with you before we move into a ministry time. You see, covenant is an important part of our relationship with Jesus. And it involves the shedding of blood and the exchanging of identity. Did you know that when you asked Jesus to come into your heart, Jesus received your identity, and you received Jesus' identity? Do you understand that? You are hidden in Jesus if you're saved, and Jesus is hidden in you. Amen? Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 37. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 37. Says, "And I will cause you to pass under the rod." This is God speaking. "I will cause you to pass under the rod as the shepherd does his sheep when he counts them. And I will count you as mine. And I will keep you and bring you into the covenant to which you are permanently bound." Permanently bound. What kind of covenant is Ezekiel talking about? He's talking about a blood covenant with God. God is a covenant-keeping God. And if we belong to Him, then we are to be covenant-keeping people. Every covenant that God made with His creation has been a blood covenant. And that's why it's important that Jesus shed His life's blood at Calvary. And Ezekiel says that the covenant that God is about to make is a covenant that will permanently bind us to Him. Permanently bind us. That sounds like commitment, doesn't it? We are to commit ourselves to God permanently, not just on Sunday mornings, not just occasionally when we decide to talk to God through prayer, or not just occasionally when we decide we'll read a scripture or two. No, this is something that is a permanent fixture in your life. And it's all about Him in your life, not you. Amen? Now, a people who are permanently bound are a people who have laid down their lives entirely. And so many Christians refuse to lay down their lives entirely. They want to hang on to the few things of the flesh that they like to do. And let me tell you, the flesh and the spirit are not compatible. They will not work together. You're either going to follow the flesh or you follow the spirit. If you're in covenant with God, you need to follow the spirit. And it takes a commitment like this in order to have the fire of God penetrate our spirit and change our lives forever. It's a must. And this kind of fire in our lives will bring forth purity, power, and passion. Purity, power, and passion. Now, today, why is today so important? I noticed over the last couple of weeks, several people have made the statement, I can't hardly wait till that Sunday. Well, that Sunday's here and it's called today, okay? And today's a big day in God's life too. God has some days that He's called today, okay? But today is the first day of the rest of your life with Jesus. Makes no difference what you've done up to this point. Things can change in your life today in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Today is a day of repentance and making a choice to lay down your life entirely for Him and His kingdom. Not this halfway in and out the door all the time, or just hanging around the door of the kingdom of God. No, we're talking about a commitment here, a choice, choosing to lay down your life for Jesus. Because I'll guarantee you, if your life is not laid down for Him, if you were ever called to stand before a firing squad, you would deny Jesus. You would deny Him because you've never taken that step to fully commit yourself to Him. Today is a day of changing our focus on commitment to His church, which is His body. That's us. And we need to get that down into our spirits, that we are His body. We are the ones that He will function through. Remember, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's not down here walking the streets of Eagle Pass. But He's also inside of us. And being inside of us with our lives committed to Him, once again, He can walk the streets of Eagle Pass. And He can work through you and do great things. And He said, even greater things can you do. Amen? Today is a day of choosing to receive the passion and the power to be what God has called you to be. And I'm telling you what, this life that some of us call Christianity is a lie. It's one of the greatest deceptions that the church has ever bought into. And the sad truth about it, when people are deceived, it's hard to make them believe that they're deceived. And the only way that they're ever going to change is either choose to change, or one day they're going to stand before God and find out they messed up a long time ago. Had plenty of opportunities to repent, but they refused to repent. You know, there's such a passive attitude about Christianity in our world today. It's like we can take it or leave it. We can do it when we want to or not do it when we want to. And you can read the book, the Bible, from first page to the last page, and you'll never find God describing a life like that. Jesus did. He called it lukewarm. Lukewarm. Today is the day that the Spirit of God talks about in Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Let's look at it for a minute. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. Don't do it. What happened to those people in the rebellion in the wilderness? They died in the wilderness. They never entered the actual kingdom of God, the promised land. They were never able to enter it because of their rebellious, disobedient nature. They perished right out there in the world of the flesh in which they wanted to live. It's time today to quit provoking God with our rebellion and disobedience and be about the work that's at hand. Get beyond the deception. Repent of the deception and begin to walk out the truth of God's Word. We have an awesome work that is especially designed for this church here in Eagle Pass called River of Life Church. God has specifically put it together just for us. But yet, I would be willing to say that at least half of the people in this church have no idea what the vision of the church is. We don't have any idea why God put us here. We just come to church when we feel like it. And you see, we're missing it. We're missing it. What God is going to do here involves each one of you totally being committed and set on fire with passion in your soul and working daily with Jesus to declare and to demonstrate the kingdom of God in this city. That's what you are called to do. Full of fire and passion, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, walking through this city, declaring and demonstrating the kingdom of God. It involves each one of you to lay hold of the vision of this church, to get outside of the walls of this church and demonstrate God's kingdom. You see, we can learn from the Word of God in here, but it's out there that we practice the Word of God. It's out there that we demonstrate the Word of God to a lost and dying world. It involves each one of you to make a commitment to this church in attendance and support to make sure that this church will remain in this city where God has called us to minister. You see, I don't want to ever see the doors on this church closed and a sign on the door saying, "No church." But we're living in a time when if we are irresponsible and we're not committed, slowly but surely that can happen to a church. That's happening to churches all over America. There are a lot of churches who have just closed the doors on the churches and trying to sell the buildings because people just weren't interested in church. Well, let me tell you, God never called us to spark our interest in church. Our interest is to be in Jesus, who is the head of the church, of the body which is us. It's all about Him working through us to do the work of the kingdom in the city. It involves each one of us to make a commitment to this church in attendance and support to make sure this church never closes. It also involves each one of us to commit ourselves to serving where we are needed to serve. And let's get beyond this denial of responsibility and choose to go where God directs us. I remember one time we asked a lady to teach a Sunday school class. And she said, "No, I've already done my time." Well, to me, that wasn't a good statement to make to God. I've already done my time. What happens when you get before Him one day and after you've died and you're standing at the judgment seat and God tells you, "Well, I'm sorry, but you did your time, so now you can go do your time somewhere else." You see, we're so selfish and so self-centered that we have no concept of what God is trying to do through us. And it needs to change. Committing ourselves wherever we're needed to serve. Let me tell you, as a pastor, I do a lot of things I don't like. But I'm serving in the capacity that God called me to serve. At 70 years old, I would love to tell you I'm walking out of here today. This is my last day. I'm going to retire and just enjoy life. But I can't do that because God hasn't released me from what He called me to. And so that means none of you can retire either because God's not going to release you, especially if you haven't even begun doing what He called you to do. He's liable to make you live to be 150 years old just so you can get everything done. You keep dragging our feet. Amen? Let's get beyond that denial. Now, I want you to hear a fresh word from God. Everything I've shared with you this morning, I believe, has come from the heart of God. But this I want you to listen to especially because we're going to minister this in a minute. This is God speaking. "Through the precious blood of my Son Jesus, you have entered into a new covenant relationship with me. His blood has given you the confidence to enter directly into my presence. Come and draw near to me with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith in my Son has given to you. His blood has cleansed you from a guilty conscience and has washed you with pure water. Hold unswervingly to the hope in Christ that you have professed, for I am faithful. Spur one another to live your lives in holiness and love. I am the light, and in me there is no darkness at all. Therefore, walk in my light. Have fellowship with those who also walk in my light and who have been purified by the blood of my Son." Amen? All right. You ponder that, and I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you that your word has power. Your word has power to bring forth change in our hearts, Lord. And that every heart you have ministered to by your word this morning, Father, I thank you that change will come forth. I thank you for revelation that you've also put in the hearts of people in this room. A revelation of who you are and what you really desire with each one of us as individuals. Now, Father, I ask that you touch each person here this morning in a real way. In a real way, Lord, as you baptize them with fire. And Father, we're just going to receive from you by faith and declare you faithful, God, and thanking you for what you're doing in our midst. And Lord, we want to just give you all of the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.